Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, but there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise for now it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Praise the Lord. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Read from verse 12 of that same chapter. Ephesians 6 verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against future hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Okay, our teaching on demons, right? Okay, for some time, we've been looking at God's word as touching the subject of demons. What exactly does the Bible teach concerning demons? Okay, we've seen quite a number of things. We began this teaching by saying that the Christian must not be one who is sensual in his thinking. Okay, to be sensual would mean I only believe what I can see, what I can feel, and what I can hear. Okay, whatever I can't see, whatever I can't hear, whatever I can't feel can't be real. You know, a Christian must never think this way, because Christianity is a faith of the supernatural. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that means that there are bound realities around us which we necessarily won't be able to see with our natural eyes. Okay, so we began by saying that there is a world that exists all around us, all around the man, which we cannot see. Paul calls that realm the heavenlies, okay, an unseen realm all around the man, Paranos in the Greek, which means the unseen realm where spirit beings dwell. Okay, that realm, we've said, is on the earth, all around the man. Okay, and for a man to look into that realm, for a man to be able to see into that realm, God has to open his eyes, okay, to see it. You know, in 2 Kings 6, verse 17, we have there Elisha's servant whose eyes were opened, right? And he saw angels all around the mountain. Okay, this Paul will later call the discerning of spirits, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so God will need to open your eyes to see into the realm of the spirit. Amen. Okay, so the descending of the spirits, we said, does not create the presence of spirit beings. Rather, it reveals it. Amen. It helps you sense that there are spirits all around. Okay, so we said that there are spirits all around us. Amen. Right? In millions. Okay, the unseen realm is all around the man. In that realm, God exists. In that realm, men exist, because men are spirit beings. They have a spirit. In that realm, Christ is seated at the Father's right hand. In that realm, angels are present, okay, an innumerable company of them, the writer of Hebrews says, okay, but in that realm, there are also dark creatures, okay, all around the man, Satan and his demons. You know, I think it was the last service, we termed them neighbors, right? Okay, evil neighbors. You know, if I was to retitle this, I'll call it My Evil Neighbors and I. Amen. That sounds like a Nollywood title. Amen. Okay, so we have them all around us. Okay, so we must be conversant with them. Okay, so we began this teaching by tracing the origin of demons. We said that where exactly did demons come from? We read in Genesis 1 and 2 that everything that God made was good. Okay, then we find demons and Satan operating from Genesis chapter 3. So the question is, where exactly did the devil and demons come from? How did they come about? We said that if God made everything and everything that God made was good, then demons would be a deviation from God's original creation and plan and intent. Okay, so we said, how did demons come about? There's a theology, okay, particularly if you were brought up in Nigeria here, that the devil tried to fight with God. Okay, then he took one third of the angels, okay, and they tried to stage a coup against God. You know, the devil can't do that. Okay, because that would even be a fair fight, right? Okay, it won't. It's like seeing someone who has been training for the Olympics all his life, telling him to run a race with a day-old child. you know, that is, it's not a fair competition. Okay, for it to be fair, both sides need to have a chance of winning. You get it? Okay, but the devil doesn't have that chance. Okay, so Satan can't think of that. Okay, fighting God. So what does he do? Satan goes for the next best thing that God made, which is the man. In Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah there explains the pride and downfall of the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, we said, is Lucifer. Okay, not Satan. Okay, but that title is used for the king of Babylon. Okay, and we said that in the mannerisms of sinners, you find a manifestation of the devil, right? Sinners walk according to the course of this world, right? Ephesians 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. So whatever you find in sinners would be a direct manifestation of the devil. Okay, so we find with the king of Babylon, it says that I want to be like the Most High God, Isaiah 14:14. And now not God Almighty, but the man. We said it was man that was made this way, like the Most High God. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God speaking there says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, so that will refer to the authority given to the man over the earth. You see similarly Psalm 8:6-8. Okay, so God put man in charge of the created world. Okay, both natural and spiritual. So that is what the devil craved after. That is what he sought for. That is what he wanted. Okay, he sought to usurp that authority from the man. The apostle Jude, in Jude 6, calls this the angels who did not keep their proper domain. Okay, that domain would refer to that original position that God gave to the angels. Okay, that position we said is to serve the man. Hebrews 1:14 calls angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Now, those who will inherit salvation are men. Okay, so angels were meant to minister to the man. Okay, but we said that the devil wanted to be master instead of minister to the man. Okay, and how do you achieve that? You achieve that by giving another instructions. Okay, you achieve that by getting the man to obey your voice or to obey his voice. And you see that Genesis 3:1-5. Okay, and that was the devil's sin. The devil gave man instruction. We said that the man was supposed to get his orders, his instructions, okay, from God. God was supposed to be the Lord over the man's life. You know, we said that your Lord is he whose orders you obey. You are a slave to whoever you obey. That is a principle in the Bible, Romans 6:16. Okay, so what does the devil do? The devil gives the man instructions, and by obeying the devil instead of God, the man made him Lord, switching position with him. We said that the master became the servant because the master obeyed his servant, making him Lord. Okay, so that's how the devil and the man fell. We said their fall happened simultaneously, right? Adam disobeyed God while Satan left his duty post of service to the man. Okay, and that is how the devil stole man's authority. We said that as long as man remains under the power of sin, the devil can lord it over him. The devil can have mastery over him. Genesis 3:14. God tells the serpent there that it will eat dust, and the one made of dust is the man. Genesis 2:7, which means that the devil will draw sustenance from the man. So that corrupted nature of the angels, okay, what we call demons today, and the devil, was actually brought about by the sin of man, right? The sin of man brought several things, all manner of evil and destruction, one of which was the corruption of the angels. Is that clear? Okay, so you said that the devil will oppress the man as long as the man remains in sin. Now, moved on, we saw some facts about demons. Okay, we began by seeing the appearance. You know, we've said in this area there are several misconceptions about how Satan and demons look like. You know, some have pictured the devil and Satan having horns, tails, okay, as some with a pitchfork, you know, as the case may be. You know, but we said that all these misconceptions are not founded in God's word, amen, derived first of all from that book from the 13th century, the Codex Gigas, okay, and also from misinterpretations of the book of Revelation. You know, we saw Revelation 12:3, where Satan is described as a dragon with seven heads and ten horns. You know, we said all of that are figurative. Remember that? The devil doesn't have horns, it doesn't have tails. Okay, that will be figurative for the nations under the devil's power. We also saw Revelation 12 verse 9, where Satan is called that serpent of old. And we said he's called a serpent because the serpent in the Jewish thought represented craftiness. Okay, so he's called a serpent because of how crafty he is. He's calculative and manipulative. So he lies in wait to destroy. Okay, then we saw Revelation 16 verse 13, where demons are described again metaphorically as frogs. Okay, and we said that John got that from Exodus chapter 8. Okay, the plagues of the frogs in Egypt. Okay, so the demons are therefore represented using frogs because they are doing what exactly they did in Egypt, which is what? Replicating God's miracles, amen, to deceive. All right, and we said that when it comes to the devil, ensure that you are not on the lookout for what is obvious. Exactly. Okay, most people, when they say Satan, they think of that being who is red, black, you know, as a case maybe who has horns or has a tail. Okay, but you know, Paul lets us know that the devil is very crafty. So don't be on the lookout for what is obvious. What is obvious is to distract you. You follow that? Okay, so it makes you to think that he looks like a red creature with horns and tails, so that when he appears, you won't know it's him. You follow that? So what is obvious is actually to distract you from what is not obvious. Okay, so look deeper. All right. Then we moved on. We saw the current abode of demons. We said that, again, there is a misconception that Satan and demons are currently in hell, torturing people. Several people have claimed that they died, they went to hell. And in hell, they saw Satan and demons stabbing people, yelling at people, slapping people, you know, as the case may be, tearing people apart. Okay, but again, we said this error is not founded in scripture. It's gotten actually from various sources here and there. Dante's Inferno is one of them. Also from pagan mythology, you know, whereby the pagans believed that there is some DAD who is ruling hell. I think it was the Greeks who believed that it's Hades. The Egyptians have Osiris. The Norse have El, the daughter of Loki. Okay, so Satan and demons operate currently on the earth. In Job 1:7, when God asks Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan does not say hell. Amen. He says, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." So the devil's kingdom, okay, is not in hell, but on the earth. Hallelujah. He operates on the earth, not in hell. Okay, when Peter speaks of angels being brought down to hell, he uses a word there, thaderos. Okay, that word does not refer to hell, but a state, amen, of demotion and restraint. Okay, so that means that demons are fallen angels, praise the Lord. Okay, not that they live in a lake of fire currently. Okay, that will not happen till the end of the age, Revelation 20 verse 10. Okay, when they'll be thrown into the lake of fire, Gehenna, right? And when that happens, they are not torturing people, but they themselves will be tortured and be destroyed. Okay, then we saw hierarchy amongst the angels, amongst demons. Okay, we said that there is a form of order of government amongst evil spirits. Ephesians 6 verse 12 speaks of principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. You know, these are all political verbiage in ancient Greek times, okay, which Paul then applies to demons. Okay, so that means that you will find a structure, amen, amongst the demons. We said the Bible is not so loud on that structure, but the Bible is clear that Satan is the head, the ruler of the demons. Okay, he controls the operations on the earth. Is that clear? Okay, then we asked the question. We said, are Satan and demons omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient? The answer would be no, amen. Satan needs to travel, amen, from one place to another. He doesn't have unlimited power. He doesn't know all things. Okay, in Matthew 2, we saw there that Satan had to grow in knowledge, right? Okay, so Satan and demons have power, but it's limited power. They would need to observe things, you know, see things, hear them, okay, to know them just like the man. Then we saw demons through the ages, you know, beginning with the Old Testament, the four Gospels, the epistles, and the book of Revelation. In the Old Testament, Satan and demons are not visible because they were in disguise, right? They masqueraded as false gods causing destruction. Deuteronomy 32:16 to 17, Psalm 106:35 to 37. Okay, in the four Gospels, Satan and demons are much more clear because Jesus comes on the scene, amen, to reveal the works of the devil, amen, and he clears God's name by so doing. He reveals what God does and he reveals what the devil does. Okay, we also saw that demons don't have names in the Bible, amen. I know this is hard for someone who lives in Nigeria to understand, right? Okay, because they've been termed different kind of names here. But demons in the Bible don't have names. Demons are usually defined in the Bible by what they are doing. We find a spirit of infirmity in Luke 13. Remember that? Okay, that means a spirit that causes weakness. That's that word infirmity, okay? A spirit that causes weakness, bodily sicknesses. In Mark 5 verse 8, we saw legion. We said legion is not a name but an explanation, right? Legion simply means 3,000 plus. You get it? 3,000 plus. So that simply means that 3,000 plus demons were working in one place at a time. 1 Timothy 4 also speaks of seducing spirits. Now again, these spirits deceive men by false doctrine. That's what they are called, seducing spirits. That is what they are doing in that instance. Is that clear? They seduce men with false words. In Mark 9 verse 17, it speaks of a mute spirit. Right? A mute spirit. Okay, describing what that spirit is doing at that particular time. Do you get it? It stops from speaking. It stopped that boy from speaking. Okay, in Acts 16 verse 1, it speaks there of a spirit of divination. Okay, which means a soothsaying spirit. Okay, so demons are named by their particular influence at that particular time. Is that clear? Okay, we also said that demons are not responsible for every sinful action, right? And every rejection of the gospel. Man has a free will. Man can choose to sin. Man can choose to believe or not. Okay, so don't blame every evil in the world on Satan. Is that clear? Okay, he does do evil, okay, sometimes, but not all the time. Okay, then we saw the final destiny of Satan and demons. Revelation 20 reveals that someday all evil spirits will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented and destroyed. Okay, then all evil will end when that happens. Okay, then the last service, we ask the question, can a believer in Christ be demon-possessed? Remember that? Okay, and then we saw that that is a wrong question, right? The Bible does not teach demon possession, right? Remember that? Okay, in the sense of a person possessing or having a demon in them. Follow that? You know, that is the general meaning of demon possession today in the Christian world. To be controlled by a demon from within. Okay, now some people have said that when they say demon possession, what they mean is under the control of a demon. You follow that? Some Bible translators and some lexicons have clarified that when we say demon possessed, that is what we mean. You get it? So if that is what you mean, then we have no issue with that. You follow that? Okay, so but I will say you just have to clarify what exactly you mean. You follow that? Okay, because the issue here is where exactly the demon is. When many Christians say demon possessed, what they mean is that a demon is within. And that is not true, right? According to scripture, the closest you find to that of a demon entering someone is Luke 22 verse 3, which says that Satan entered Judas. And we explained that last week, right? We said that that is a figure of speech, an idiom, right? For evil thoughts entering Judas's heart, pulled there by the devil. You know, that is how the Jews talk. Luke, being an alienist Jew, you know, an alienist Jew is a Greek person that turned or converted to Judaism. Follow that? So Luke, being an alienist Jew, was well familiar with this manner of speaking. You know, John also says similarly in John 13 verse 27. It says Satan entered him. Okay, so if you mean demon possessed in the sense of an indwelling demon, then we do not agree with that. Is that clear? Okay, so you can use demon possessed, amen, if what you mean is, a person is under the influence of a demon. It's fine. Okay, you see that sometimes in some books, some dictionaries, some translations made by good men. Okay, but since you know that demon possession means something completely different today, okay, I would suggest personally that we use something else, amen, to clarify what exactly we're trying to say. Some have tried to categorize demonic influence into demonic oppression, obsession, and depression, but we said that classification is not necessary, amen, because there is nowhere found in scripture where that terminologies or where those terminologies are clearly used. The closest we find is Acts 10:38, where it says that Jesus was anointed, right, and went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay, that's the closest you have. Oppression. Okay, so it's best to stick with Bible terms. Demonized is fine, right? Okay, demonizomai, that's that word in the Greek, or having a demon, or having a spirit, eche demonion, eche pneuma. Okay, those are Bible terms, Bible terminology. Is that clear? Okay, so let's use Bible terms. So we've said that demons do not dwell in human bodies, hearts, or spirits. Okay, they live around men in their activities, homes, their lives, offices, you know, as the case may be, troubling them. Okay, so when demons are cast out, demons are not cast out of a person's body. Is that clear? Okay, they are cast out of a person's life altogether. Okay, and you see that in the words used for exorcism, ekbalo and esekomai, okay, which mean to banish and to go forth from. Okay, so when a demon is expelled, banished, cast out, okay, that demon leaves that vicinity and its operation there ceases. Do you get it? You know, the reason why the operation ceases is because he's left. Come on, do you follow that? Imagine someone is there slapping her, and then we tell him to leave. You know, her face will stop paining her. You follow that? So the leaving of the demon automatically stops that operation. You follow that? So that is what is called exorcism. The demon leaves that vicinity and its operations there ceases. Okay, then we saw how to support demonic activity. Remember that? Okay, we said that demonic activity can be discerned in various ways. First of all, in violent behavior, right? When someone is unnecessarily violent and self-harming, okay, that might be something to look at much more closely. Okay, there might be a demon causing that. Also, in sicknesses, demons can reveal themselves in causing bodily harm to people. Demons are also seen in false doctrine. Remember that? Okay, but this one is very subtle. And we said that most times, demonic influence in false doctrine would involve core issues. Remember that? So not every preacher who doesn't preach what Pastor Josh preaches is under the influence of a demon. You follow that? Where you say, okay, this pastor doesn't teach this, so he's under the influence of a demon. No. Okay, the issue here is core issues. Okay, you know, when someone says things like Jesus Christ did not actually die, Jesus Christ swooned, right? He just slept off, okay? Then he was raised back to life, or he revived back, okay, in the tomb. You know, that's a demon speaking, right? When someone says that Jesus did not come in the flesh, right? Okay, that is a demon speaking. When someone says the Bible is not inspired by God, you know, those are core issues, right? Okay, so those are things to look out for, not little issues here and there. You know, so we can argue when it comes to water baptism, right? Don't you agree? You think water baptism is a core issue? Well, in some places it is, right? Okay, but it's not something to fight over. Tithing, right? Should Christians clap their hands? You know, little issues like that are not necessary. Okay, but when it comes to core issues, okay, that's where we take our stand, amen, against false doctrine. Okay, then we also said that demonic influence can be discerned through the discerning of spirits, right? We said the discerning of spirits can show up in various ways, in diverse manners. It can show up as a strong feeling of unease most times. You know, in Acts chapter 16, you know, it says there that Paul was greatly annoyed. Remember that? When that girl was going after them, you know, that means for Paul there, the descending of spirit came in form of strong feelings of anger. You see that? So he just felt toward her. Do you get it? But that was a descending of spirits. Hallelujah. Okay, so as that girl kept speaking, he just felt greatly annoyed in the spirit. That word there is diapo neomai in the Greek. D-I-A-P-O-N-E-O-M-A-I. Okay, that is Acts 16 verse 18. Greatly annoyed, which means to be grieved or troubled. Okay, so that means that Paul felt unease around that demon. That is how he knew. Okay, and other times you might see the demon. You know, the descending of spirits is a revelatory gift, a sight gift, right? So something will be revealed to you. You actually see the demon, okay, causing the issue there. Most times, if a demon is around you or around your family, your eyes will be opened to see it, and then you can cast it out. Is that clear? So look out for those sensations. Is that clear? Okay, most times that is the Spirit of Christ in you telling you something about that brother, amen, about that sister, about that place. Okay, so ensure you pay attention to that. Is that clear? Okay, so that concludes our recap of everything we've seen so far. So today, we move on quickly to see believers' authority over demons. Hallelujah. Amen. Believers' authority over demons. Now, when you read Luke chapter 9, Luke 9 records there that Jesus sent out his disciples to preach. Okay? Now, with that commission, with that sending out, came authority over demons. Let's see that Luke 9:1. It says, then he there being Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. Underline that, power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. Hallelujah. Okay, now that is for the 12, right? Okay, then in Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 70. You know, they are not the same, right? Okay, so he sends out another 70, and we find similarly with the 70 disciples. Now, when they came back, the 70, look at their testimony, Luke 10, verse 17. Now, their testimony was that, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, observe Jesus' response, verse 19. It says, behold, I give you the authority, underline that, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now it says, and there is chi in the Greek, that is, over all the power of the enemy. So that is the serpents and the scorpions there. They are the power of the enemy, right? Used metaphorically. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now you observe that these accounts, that is Luke 9 and Luke 10, were before the cross, right? Now Jesus hadn't died yet. So that means that the power and the authority here are delegated. Okay? Delegated power, delegated authority. That is, that power wasn't theirs. Okay? They were merely using that power temporarily for Jesus. You know, if I tell you, take my car, right, and use it to UI and then bring it back to my house. You know, that car does not belong to you. You follow that? And that case is delegated. Okay, you just use it for a while and then you return it back to me. Okay, you're using it for the time being. So that was the case with the power to exorcise demons. It was Jesus who had the power to exorcise demons, to banish demons. So what did Jesus do? Jesus simply gave some of that power to them. You follow that? So it was delegated authority, delegated power. However, you see that Jesus dies and is raised from the dead and there is a change. Praise the Lord. Look at Mark 16, verse 17. Mark 16, verse 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name, that is in my authority, they will cast out demons. Hallelujah. Underline that. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. Okay, so in his resurrection, we now have his name. Praise the Lord. Okay, not as delegated authority, but as our very nature. Praise the Lord. Okay, and you see that at his resurrection, Jesus is exalted and given all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus there says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, who there being Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. On line that, okay, from sat to I, having become so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. Underline that. A more excellent name than they. So Jesus at his resurrection obtained the name. You see that? And that name supersedes the angels. Come on, do you see that there? Okay, look at Philippians 2 verse 9. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him. Him there being Jesus, okay? Or the line that highly exalted him and given to him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? From that to name, that is the authority which is above every authority. That at the name or at the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the Son is made to sit at God's right hand. Okay, the right hand, we said, is the place of all authority. Amen. So he receives a new name, a greater dimension of power than he had as a man. You follow that? So Jesus at his resurrection is different from Jesus before his resurrection. Do you get it? Jesus as a man had power, right? He had authority, amen. But at his resurrection, he received all power. Praise the Lord. Do you get it? Fully. Praise the Lord. Okay? And that name, that power, that authority that Jesus received is for his church. Praise the Lord. Paul tells us that, Philippians 1:19. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? You know, I've told you the word toward this, eyes in the Greek, EIS, better put in us, right? Okay, thank you. And also believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Underline that, at his right hand in the heavenly places. 21 says, far above all principality and power. Underline that. From far to power, okay? And might and dominion. Underline might, underline dominion. And every name that is named. Underline that, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. 22 says, and has put all things under his feet. Underline that, under his feet, and give him to be head over all things. Underline that, head over all, okay, to the church. Or you can say for the benefit of the church. Okay, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. So the reason that Jesus received all authority is for his church. You see that? His church exercises the same. Okay, we are seated where Christ is seated. Ephesians 2 verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I'm alive together with Christ. So in Christ, I've been revived. Amen. Okay, it says, by grace you have been saved. 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Underline that. Made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. So the church of Christ is identified with him. Okay? Identification means that where Christ is, we are. Praise the Lord. Okay? It means what Christ has, we have. Okay? So where he is seated, we are also seated. Do you get it? Okay? So we are seated together with him. Now where? At the right hand, right? In the heavenlies. Praise the Lord. Now remember that where Christ is seated is above all principality and power. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:21. It says, far above what? All principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, principalities and powers are angels. You follow that? You know, we explained that in that teaching in angels, right? Okay, so see this. If we are seated where Christ is seated, and where Christ is seated is above the angels, that means that we, amen, are seated above angels. Do you follow that? Where he's seated is where? Above all principality and powers, all angels. Who is there with him? The church. Okay, we are seated together with him. Amen. So that means that we have that same authority that Jesus has over principalities and powers. Praise the Lord. Okay, over the angels. Now, demons are fallen angels. You follow that? Okay, so does that mean we have authority over them as well? Okay, and that is why Jesus says of all who believe that they will cast out demons. Matthew 16 verse 17. Do you get it now? This would happen in his name. Praise the Lord. Okay, that authority which we have received. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we see that promise play out in the book of Acts. You see, in Acts chapter 8, Philip there goes to Samaria, okay, and he performs missionary work there, okay, and part of that work entailed casting out of demons. Acts 8, verse 7. Let's see that. Acts 8, 7. It says, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. On the line from came to possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. You see that in Acts 16, Paul there exorcised a demon at Philippi. Acts 16 verse 1, It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination, or under its influence, right? Okay, met us, who brought our masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of our, can we say, in his authority, where we are seated at the Father's right hand. Okay, it says, come out of her, and he came out that very hour. Praise the Lord. You see that there? Now remember that come out in this text, Acts 8:7 and Acts 16:18, is that word esekomai, right? In the Greek, it simply means to depart from or to leave. So that means that the demons were not in them, they were with them, controlling them. We said that, right? So both Philip and Paul stopped that operation. So what does that tell us? That tells us that both Paul and Philip were aware, praise the Lord, of their spiritual authority. Okay? So the New Testament encourages Christians to cast out demons. You follow that? See that so far? Okay, the New Testament encourages Christians to cast out demons. Now, we cast out demons by speaking directly to them. Hallelujah. You see that Jesus would oftentimes cast out demons this way by speaking and commanding them to leave. Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay, with the word, and healed all who were sick. Look at Matthew 17:18. Matthew 17:18. It says, and Jesus rebuked the demon. Underline that, rebuked the demon. That entails words. Okay? And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Look at Mark 5:8. Mark 5:8. It says, for he there being Jesus, said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Underline, he said to him, okay? So just like Jesus, we too can speak out and rebuke demons. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have the right to cast out demons because Jesus conquered the devil. Now that conquest began in the wilderness. Okay, Matthew 4:1-11. Now there, Jesus overcame three temptations, right? Okay, now for every temptation that Jesus overcame, he was defeating Satan. Remember, Satan's victory is in getting men to sin, right? So Jesus' victory is in overcoming sin. Do you follow that? So he defeats the devil by so doing. So for every temptation that Jesus overcame, he was defeating Satan. Do you follow that? Okay, and that defeat culminates in his finished work. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus completely and utterly defeated the devil. Praise the Lord. Jesus destroyed the devil through his death. Hebrews 2:14, it tells us that, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him. Praise the Lord. Okay, who had the power of death? On the line from he to death, okay, that is the devil. You see that there? Say, Jesus, by his work, destroyed the devil. Now, the word destroyed there in the Greek is katagio. Okay, katagio. K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O. The last O accentuated, which means to render powerless. You follow that? To render powerless. So, Jesus took away the devil's power of death over all who believe. Praise the Lord. Okay, we've been set free. Verse 15 says, it says, and release those, underline that, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Paul lets us know that principalities and powers have been disarmed by Jesus. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, underline that, okay? It says, he there, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus, disarmed principalities and powers. Come on, say, Jesus, disarmed principalities and powers. Say, Jesus, triumphed over them in it. Hallelujah. That word disarmed used there means to divest. D-I-V-E-S-T, okay, to divest, to strip of power. That's that word, okay? Apek dumai in the Greek. APEKDUOMAI. Now, this happened when he died for sins. Okay, so when he dies, what does Jesus do? Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, fallen angels. He stripped them of their power and made a public spectacle of them. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have overcome the devil in Christ. Look at Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him. Underline that, they overcame him, him there being the devil. Now how? By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? By the blood of the Lamb. Now look at this, it says, and by, that's Kai, right? The word of their testimony. You can say, which is the word of their testimony? The blood of Christ. You follow that? And they did not love their lives to death. Now recall Genesis 3, verse 14. Now remember that in Genesis 3 verse 14, God tells Satan that you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now that dust there, we've said, is the man. It was the man who was made out of dust, Genesis 2 verse 7. So what does that mean? That means that the devil would continually oppress the man in sin. Okay, it would draw sustenance from him. We have a word for that today, parasite. Okay, so sin puts Satan in charge and keeps him in charge. Is that clear so far? Okay, now the devil would forever rule over men in sin. But look at this, by the work of Christ, our sins are completely forgiven. Praise the Lord. Okay, and Satan has no authority over us. Look at Colossians 1:13. Oh, thank you, Lord. Colossians 1:13. It says, he has delivered us. Say, I have been delivered. Okay, say, I do not need deliverance. Say, I have been delivered. Say, my deliverance is a past tense. Okay? It says, he has, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13, and conveyed us, praise the Lord, past tense, right, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, 14 says, in whom we have redemption. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So do you see that there? Forgiveness of sins and deliverance from the power of darkness happen simultaneously. Come on, did you spot that there? Okay, look at how Jesus said this to Paul. Acts 26, verse 17. Oh, thank you, Lord. Acts 26, verse 17. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I will deliver you, that is Paul, from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Underline that, from truth to light. And from the power of Satan to God. Underline from the power of Satan, okay? It says that, you see that? Underline that, okay? They may receive forgiveness of sins. Underline that. Receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. So once our sins were forgiven, we were set free from the devil's hold. Hallelujah. So to be forgiven is to be set free. Okay, the one who believes is forgiven and delivered. So you know what that means? That means that Satan no longer has the right to eat dust in his life. Hallelujah. So Satan no longer has the right to eat dust in the life of a man whose sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have the Spirit of God living in us today. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Underline that. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Not only that, in Christ you have become sons of God. Look at Galatians 3 verse 26. Galatians 3 verse 26. It says, for you are all sons of God. Say, I'm a son. Say, I'm a son. Come on. Okay? Underline that, okay? You are all sons of God through faith. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Say, I've received the spirit of adoption. Underline that, okay? The spirit of adoption, euostasia in the Greek, which means the spirit that places you as a son. Do you get it? You have that title in the Father's house. You are a son. Say, I'm a son. Do you get it? Okay? It says, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 16 says, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord. God is our Father. Look at 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. Okay, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father," underline that, "the Father has bestowed on us." Now, what is that love? That we should be called children of God. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? From vow to God, it says, "Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." 2 says, "Beloved, now are we children of God." So I'm a child of God. Underline that, okay? "Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Praise the Lord. You see that? So we are children of God. Now, because we are children of God, when Satan comes to attack us, you know, Satan is putting himself in trouble. Do you follow that? Because Satan is actually attacking one of God's children. Do you follow that? A member of God's family. You know, you don't touch the president's kids and you get away with it. Do you follow that? Because the kids bear their father's name. Okay? I remember 2 Sundays ago, amen, I was coming to church and I was stopped on the road by some policemen, amen, and I was being harassed by them. Alright, so you know, I knew what they wanted, amen. It's a hot Sunday afternoon, praise the Lord. Selah. Okay, so they stopped me on the road and, you know, as me calm down, you know, and most times I ensure I don't break any laws. You know, it's those who break laws who are scared of, you know, law enforcement. So I wasn't breaking any laws. My seatbelt was on. I had my papers. You know, everything was intact in the car. I wasn't overspeeding. So I stopped and I got down. You know, the man tried to, you know how they do, but I knew what he wanted. I wasn't going to give it to him. Amen. Okay, so he started saying, "Okay, I will arrest you." You get it? Okay, you know, he stopped me, he said to me, "Park well, I will arrest you. No, calm down with the car." Blah, 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 blah. He started shouting, you know, as a case may be. I was just looking at him and smiling. Because, you know, we've been taught in law, don't argue with law enforcement. You know, they have a gun, right? You know, you can't sue them if you're dead. You follow that? So act dumb in front of them, like you don't know your right. Then later on, you slam them with 10 million. 10 million false imprisonment suit. You just act like you don't know anything. You get it? So, you know, he said, blah, 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 blah. Then, you know, when he was talking to one of his colleagues, amen, then that fellow came to me, said, "Okay, let me see the papers of your car." I had it in the car, amen. Okay, my my license was also there. So I showed it to them, okay. Then he checked the papers of the car and looked at me, said, "Who is, blah, 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 blah." He called my dad's name, okay. Then I said, "That's my dad." Then he looked at me. Then he crossed over to the other side of the road. Then he went to tell his colleague something. He spoke. Then he told me to come over. He said, "Is your dad so and so?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Ah, eh?" Okay. Then, interestingly, he began to beg me. He said, "Ah, sorry. Sorry, you know, we didn't mean to, you know, stop you and harass you on the road. You know how this police job is. You know, we are sorry. Okay, you are free to go. But just give us something now." You understand? Very silly. "Give us something now, you know. I don't carry cash with me, I'm sorry." You know, then I went to my car and as I was going, say, "I greet your dad for me." Can you imagine? The same guy. Then I was wondering, because you know, my dad was the one who did the papers of our cars for us, you know, me and my siblings. So I didn't really pay attention to it. He just did it for us, he gave it to us. So I just have it in the car, you know, just in case of any issues. So when I got back, then I looked at it and I found out that when my dad was registering the cars, he actually put his name there and his title. I said, "Ah." So when they look at that paper, they are seeing his name and his title there. Do you follow that? Now, I didn't know. I've been carrying that for several months now. Amen. Okay, I didn't know. Okay, till I looked at it, I said, "Oh, okay, no wonder my dad insisted that he himself, you know, do the papers for us." So I smiled. I said, "Okay, I get it." So from now on, when I'm leaving, you know, I don't even no sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation. Praise the Lord. Okay, once you stop me, I just show you where. Take. You follow that? Okay. Now it's the same thing with the devil. Do you get it? Say, "I have my father's name." Praise the Lord. Okay, and that is why we, as children of God, can successfully overcome the devil. Amen. Successfully. Look at 1 John 5:18. Come on, I want you to see this, okay? 1 John 5:18. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Look at this. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Underline from he to himself. Now, if you check this in the Greek, you find that this was poorly translated. Okay, there is an incorrect syntax here. So we can change that arrangement, okay, so that it can be better translated. You can put it this way. He who has been born of God himself keeps. Do you follow that? Not keeps himself. Himself keeps. Himself there being God. That is, God himself keeps the believer. Do you follow that? And the wicked one does not touch him. Hallelujah. Okay, so the devil is beneath the Christian. Do you follow that? Absolutely beneath the Christian. So in authority, we supersede Satan and his demons. You follow that? So I have authority over Satan and his demons. Okay? Now the devil knows this. He knows he has been defeated. He has no more place in the life of the Christian. He no longer can eat dust. So what does he do? What else can he do? Huh? The mind. Do you follow that? That is where he fights. The mind. He uses fear. Okay? So what does he do? He tries to make himself appear bigger than he actually is. That is all he can do. He plays mind games. Mind games. Okay? And most times, he will use movies. Okay, you see a movie, a Christian will be... the Babalawo wants to strike the Christian. He just says, Shongo! Phew! Something will fly. Whee! We hit him. Bah! Say, yeah, Rimio! Right? But for the pastor to deliver, in quote, the man, he will need to fast and pray for 7 days. Do you see? So he plays mind games. Okay? But the epistles teach us not to fear him. Look at 1 John 4:4. As we begin to close. Learning so far? Alright, thank you. 1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children. Some of God. Praise the Lord. Some of God. Come on. Okay, little children. And I've overcome them because he who is in you, underline that, he who is in you, who is that? God. Okay? Is greater. Praise the Lord. Okay? The word greater there is meizon in the Greek. M-E-I-Z-O-N. The O there is accentuated, which means mightier. Praise the Lord. So, he who is in you is mightier. Says mightier. Okay? Than he who is in the world. See that? Than he who is in the world. That is the devil. Okay? So, God lives in us and God is mightier than him. Okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul says, 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. Say, I have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Okay? We are not terrified by our adversaries. Philippians 1:28. It says, and in not any way terrified by our adversaries. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? From not to adversaries, okay? Which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Now, when you read in context here, Philippians 1, you find out that Paul was actually referring to human adversaries, okay? Those who oppose Christians. But we know that Satan is behind their actions, right? Okay, their hostile nature is influenced by the devil. Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us that. It says, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Underline from that to disobedience, okay? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 24. Paul says similarly there, 2 Timothy 2 verse 24. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Underline from correcting to opposition, okay? If God perhaps would grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see that? Underline from having to will. Or those who oppose Christians. Okay? That's describing those who oppose Christians, oppose the gospel. So we are not afraid of these adversaries. Do you get it? Okay? Influenced by the devil. Okay? The day of their destruction draws near, and they know this, and that is why they persist in doing evil. Is that clear? So say, I have authority over Satan and demons. Praise the Lord. Okay, now knowing you have this authority, God now expects you to resist the devil. Do you follow that? Now let's see, as we begin to close, how to cast out demons practically. Amen. How to cast out demons practically. Now, first of all, note that it is not hard to cast out a demon. That is the first step, okay? So my bullet point here, it is not hard to cast out a demon. So silence that fear in your heart. You know, I know most times, because we've seen too much of Nollywood, we begin to think that exorcism should be long. You follow that? Ejade, mile jade. Ejade, mile jade. And mile jade, sir. You know, the pastor and the demon are fighting themselves. Come out, I won't come out. Come out, I won't come out. So because you've watched too much Nollywood, you begin to think that that's how exorcism should be long. You know, you and Satan are fighting before finally Satan says, ah, where's your own self? Okay, I go. Do you get it? No! Do you follow that? Stop watching such movies. They deaden your spiritual intelligence. Do you follow that? Okay, you won't find that in scripture. In scripture, demons responded immediately, praise the Lord, to authority. You see that Jesus cast out demons with a word, right? Matthew 8 verse 16, as we close. Matthew 8 verse 16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits, what? With a word. Hallelujah. Online that, okay? With a word, and healed all who were sick. So it was that easy, folks. Do you see that? A simple instruction was all it took. You only find few cases in the four Gospels where Jesus met resistance in casting out demons. Just few. Now, one of such cases was with that demoniac, right? At Gadarenes. Luke 8:29. Let's see that quickly. Luke 8:29. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Now you see here that in fact, the demons did not want to leave initially, so they begged, but eventually they had to obey Jesus. Praise the Lord. So resistance is not the norm. So resistance from demons is not the norm. So the norm is that demons bow. Hallelujah. To the authority in the name of Jesus at once. Praise the Lord. That is our norm. Okay? You see, that was the case with Philip and that girl, right? At Philippi. Acts 16 verse 18. Let's see that again. Acts 16, 18. It says, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I commend you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out, what? After fighting with Paul. After saying mile jade, huh? For 10 hours. After Paul locked her in a room, flogged her, pour holy water on her, pour oil, poured spit, huh? Threw mantle on her. You know, in some point, have you seen some deliverance? But they begin to kick. they beat the person under the influence of a demon. If a demon will say, ah, I cannot stay here. This beating is too much. If the person will say, ah, okay, please, demon, ah, please leave now so that this guy will stop beating me. No, at that very hour. Come on. You see that? Is that okay? At that very hour, or at once. That's what that means. Okay? It came out at once. So, approach exorcism with this mentality. I can get immediate results. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm not here to negotiate with this demon or conduct interviews with him. Have you seen some people do that? What is your name? What is the name of your superintendent? Kilokoe. Okay, I'm not concerned about the name of the demon. I only seek to cast it out. Do you follow that? So approach exorcism with that mentality. Is that clear? Okay, the next bullet point here, do not allow condemnation. Do not allow condemnation. Now, many times, Christians are scared to cast out demons because of some sin in their lives. Okay, they believe they've committed some sin or some transgression, okay, that renders them unworthy to cast out demons. So what do? They allow condemnation to rob them. Now, this shouldn't be. In Christ, there is no condemnation for us. Amen. Romans 8:1, right? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You say in Christ, there is therefore Now, say now, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, though our sins are greater, His grace is greater still. Romans 5 verse 20. He says, moreover, the law ended that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Praise the Lord. Understand that, okay? Grace abounded much more. The Greek literally says, grace superabounded. Praise the Lord. Okay? In Christ, all who have believed are righteous apart from works. Look at Romans 4, 5. Romans 4, 5. It says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, is what? His works, his fasting, huh? His good deeds, his charitable works, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Underline that. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Hallelujah. Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm that man. Underline that, okay? From that to works. Okay? 7 says, blessed those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blesses the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. You see that? So we do nothing to be righteous in the New Testament. Do you see that there? We only believe we are the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the power to cast out demons is not ours because we are perfect morally. Okay, it is ours because we believe on Christ. Come on, did you hear that? The power to cast out demons is not yours because you are perfect morally. No, because you don't sin. Mm-mm. It is yours because you believe in Christ and you're righteous. Mark 16:16. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 17 says, and these signs will follow. And follow those who are perfect. Huh? Those who do not sin, those who have it all together, come on, those who fast 40 days and 40 nights, come on, those who pray long hours, no, those who believe. Is it good to do all of that? Pray, fast, yes. Okay, but these signs will follow those who believe. Underline that, those who believe. It says, in my name, in my authority, they what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So the one who simply believes, come on, simply believes, can cast out the demon. Even though his life might not be 100% flawless, 100% perfect, morally. Is that clear? Okay, we're told a story of three men of God who were trying to cast out a demon from a little girl. Okay, and then the demon would speak out to them and tell them their sins. Amen. You know, the first man came there. He tried, says, demon, I command you, get out of this girl. The demon says, look at you. You know that yesterday you sinned. The man shouted, ah, it's true. He ran away. You get it? Okay, the second man came. He said, demon, I command you, leave this girl. Okay, the demon said, look at you. You know that last week you did such and such. He said, ah, it's true. He ran away. Okay, then the third man came there, right? And then he says, demon, I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of this girl. The demon was about to speak. He said, shut up. Do you get it? Yes, I know I'm not perfect, but hallelujah! Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay, and the demon shouted and let the girl alone. Praise the Lord! Okay, so the power to cast out demons is not mine because I'm perfect. Say that. Say the power, come on, to cast out demons is not mine because I'm perfect morally. Say, because I do not sin. Say, the power to cast out demons, come on, is not mine because I'm perfect morally or because I do not sin. Say, it's mine because I believe in the name of Jesus and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Are you glad about that? Praise the Lord. Okay, take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, the next here, give a clear command. Amen. Give a clear command. Now, let me say this to you, that God does not expect us to pray to him about demons. You follow that? Rather, we are to talk to them directly and to rebuke them. Now, this is quite interesting because for angels, you pray to God, right? Not to them. Remember, I taught that, right? That teaching on angels. You pray, you don't pray to angels, you pray to God. But for demons, you speak directly to them. Now, why? Because demons are not God's messengers. Do you follow that? So he can't talk to them for you. Say, leave my child alone now. Do you get it? Okay, so you will talk to the demon. Come on, do you follow that? Now, God is a wise father. A very wise father, okay? God has given us all the power that we need to continually overcome the devil. He already has given us that power. So you know what he won't do? God won't fight all our battles for us. Amen? Okay, God did not give birth to spiritual handicaps. Now imagine you give your child a credit card. You say, there's no limit on this card, so use it as you please, buy whatever you want. And then every time the child wants to buy something, he comes to meet you and say, Dad, please, can you help me? He gives you the card. Can you help me pay for this? What would you say? Are you all right? I gave you the card. You expect me to use the card for you. Do you get it? So you would have to be the one to resist the devil with the tools God gave you. Come on, do you get it? Okay, you. So God expects us to use our authority as believers. So unlike angels, you know, you are to speak directly to demons. Give commands. Is that clear? Give clear commands. Okay, you know, we said that demons don't know our thoughts, right? We said that so far in this teaching. So that means you will need to speak out. Don't try to cast out a demon in your heart. Do you follow that? Okay, you will have to speak out. So the demon won't hear your heart. Do you get it? Okay, so you give a clear, loud command. A simple command will do. Okay, you can say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to depart from here, evil spirit. You can say, I command you to depart from his life, evil spirit. You can say, I cause your operations to cease, evil spirit, in this place. Okay, you can say, I cause your operations to cease in his or her life. You can, you know, when you feel fear, anxiety, okay, coming upon you, you can say, spirit of fear, spirit of anxiety, I command you, in the name of Jesus, to depart from me. I banish you from my life. Hallelujah. Okay, I cause your operations to cease, to end, and to stop in my heart. Give an audible instruction. Is that clear? Or a command. Demons will only obey instructions that they hear. Is that clear? Okay, so don't do that in your heart. Speak out. The next bullet point here, speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. So together with a command, you can also quote scripture. You know, the devil eats God's word, right? Now, because God's word reveals his defeat. So the devil hates to hear God's word because God's word reveals his defeat. Okay, so the believer, the Christian, should be armed with such scriptures. Okay, that speak of Jesus defeating the devil. Is that clear? Okay, be armed with such scriptures that speak of the conquest of Jesus over the powers of darkness. Over the forces of darkness. Now here are some of them. I'll give you some of them, okay? Look at Colossians 2:15. Run through now. Okay? Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. See that there? So that is one of such scriptures. Look at Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. It says, he has delivered us, hallelujah, from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. When you say this to Satan, you know what he's hearing? I can't eat dust anymore. Praise the Lord. Okay? Look at Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. See that? So you can say, I've been released. Praise the Lord. Okay? From the power of death, I've been set free from him. Praise the Lord. Okay? Who destroys? That is the devil. Look at James 4:7. James 4:7. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See that? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you can say, if God's word says I can resist and he will flee, therefore I resist. You get it? And he shall flee. Praise the Lord. Okay? Speak God's word. Look at 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil had sinned from the beginning. And look at this. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Okay, you can say that as well, right? You can say, Satan, Jesus was manifested to destroy your works. Praise the Lord. Okay, you are reminding him of that defeat. Look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. It says, "You have got little children and have overcome them." Praise the Lord. You can say that. You can say, "I've overcome you." You get it? Okay? Because he who is in me, okay, who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. You see that there? You can say, the Holy Spirit lives in me, the Spirit of Christ lives in me. Okay, God the Father dwells in me, and God the Father is mightier. But you can give him the Greek word. Say, meson than you. Amen. He is mightier than you. Praise the Lord. Okay? Look at 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. It says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God, God keeps," right? Okay? "And the wicked one does not touch him." Praise the Lord. So you can say, "I've been born of God." Amen. Okay? "God keeps me." Amen. "And the wicked one does not touch me." Praise the Lord. Okay? So Christians should memorize such verses. Is that clear? Okay? Most times it helps to quote them from memory. Do you follow that? Not that you say, "Ah, demon, wait, please. Let me check for this." "Ah, where is that first John?" Okay. No. Learn them. Is that clear? Praise the Lord. How did I get here, for crying out loud? Okay, next bullet point here. Now, this is very important. Okay, and this is where several people, especially in Nigeria here, they miss it. If the person you are ministering to is unsaved, ensure you get him saved immediately. Do you follow that? If you're ministering to someone who is under the influence of a demon, all right, and then afterward, you know, the demon is cast out, ensure that that person, if he's unsaved, he believes the gospel. If you don't do that, most times we leave those who have been set free susceptible, okay, to further attacks from the devil. You see that Jesus explains this, Matthew 12, right? Remember that? Matthew 12:43-45. It says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of or goes forth from," right, "a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house." Now, the house there is not the man's body, but his life. Remember that? His activities, okay, his family, his job, okay, his hobbies from which I came. Okay, and when he comes, he finds it empty. That is the man's life, swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven more spirits more wicked than himself, and he enter and dwell there. That is the man's life, okay? And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. So that means here that demons are always looking for ways to come back, okay, having been banished. Now, I told you they are your neighbors, right? They like you a lot. Amen. They love you a lot. Don't be scared. They really, really, really like demons. They just really love human beings. Okay, so once you banish them, say, I really miss how. Okay, let me try and see if I can go back. You get it? Okay, so we must ensure that there are no inroads, exactly, into the person's life again, which the devil can use. If the person is unsaved, get him saved. If he's saved, but, you know, he's an immature Christian, someone who has not been discipled, ensure immediately you enroll him in a local church, amen, for his discipleship and his training. Okay, then also, caution is advised. Now, this is another bullet point, okay? Caution is advised when dealing with demons. Caution. Okay, Christians should not become overly obsessed with the devil and demons. Okay, so much so that demons are all that they think about, all that they talk about, and all that they teach. You know, the Christian has no business trying to gain expertise in the occult. I have a degree in demonology. I'm an expert in demonology. Why? Do you follow that? Okay, the Christian has no business trying. So yes, you say, "I know the names of demons, I know their classifications," you know, very weird stuff. And then that same person can't teach Christ, okay, can't teach the gospel, he can't teach things that will grow the saints, but he's an expert in demons. What a title. An expert in demons. No. Okay, our minds as Christians should be preoccupied with pure thoughts. Amen. Philippians 4:8. Let's see that. Philippians 4:8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see that? Meditate on these things. And that is why you see that in Luke 10, Jesus there, he warned his disciples not to find joy primarily in casting out demons. Let's see that, okay? Luke 10 verse 17. Remember that he had sent out the disciples to evangelize, right? Then they came back to him. Luke 10 verse 17 with a report. Okay, Luke 10 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now you see that in verses 18 to 19 of that same chapter, Jesus commends them, right? He commends their victory over evil spirits. Let's see that verse 18. He says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. 19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But it doesn't stop there. Amen. It doesn't stop there. He also warns them about an obsession with demons. Look at verse 20. It says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Come on, did you spot that there? That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that is salvation. Do you see that? Underline that, okay? Your names are written in heaven. Now don't think that Jesus here was belittling casting out of demons. It wasn't. Okay? But true Christian joy should be found in salvation. That's his point here. Okay? It is with salvation that the Christian ought to be occupied, not the casting out of demons. Is that clear? Not even the working of miracles. Salvation. So he warns them, okay, don't be obsessed. Don't become, you know, now you've cast out demons. Don't make it everything you talk about. Don't start the ministry on this. Do you get it? Demonology Church of Nigeria. Amen. Or the Church of the Demoniacs. I'll run away from such a church. Amen. Okay. So ensure that your obsession is with things that really matter, things that matter the most, which is salvation. Is that clear? So did you learn? Our lift you in given praise. We continue from here. Thank you.